The shorter catechism question this week is number 82. Is any man able perfectly to keep the commandments of God? And the answer is no mere man since the fall is able in this life perfectly to keep the commandments of God, but doth daily break them in thought, word, and deed. Man, of course, was created in knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. When God had finished making Adam and the woman, whom he had brought to him, the end of day 6, God looked at all that he made, and he said that it was very good. He was able to perfectly to keep the commandments of God, and yet he was both fully and genuinely free. We can see that men make real choices, that there will be none in hell who did not choose to despise God, because even Adam, who had a holy nature in his original condition, was so free in his willingness or ability to will, ability to choose, that he chose sin despite not being predisposed to it. In this way, Adam is almost like the devil. It's the reason why those who stay in Adam are the seed of the serpent, and only those whom the Lord, giving them a mercy that is not given to any of the angels who fell, not even the highest angel who fell, but those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ are brought to faith, are brought to life, all by the grace and mercy of God, opposite what they deserve, or not the seed of the serpent, but the scripture calls them the seed of the woman, and later and more fully and truly the seed of God and the children of God. Well, Adam was able perfectly to keep the commandments of God, but he did not. And ever since the fall, all of us, having been in Adam and sinned in Adam and fallen in Adam, have not been able to keep the commandments of God, for we have already broken them, and now we have sinful natures. And so we have not only a creaturely inability, we have a fleshly, wicked inability to keep the commandments of God. But there is one who is not descended from Adam by ordinary generation, that is, by fatherhood. There is one who was made, or rather made for himself, for he of all humanity preexisted. There is one who made for himself a body out of the substance of a woman, and therefore he is the archetypal, the great seed, capital S, of the woman, and who created for himself a human soul. And he was able perfectly to keep the commandments of God, and he, this time, the last Adam, did perfectly keep the commandments of God as a true man, but not as a mere man, for he is God and man. So that having obeyed according to his human nature and suffered according to his human nature, he, yet being a divine person, has suffered as God even in our place, and the church is bought with the blood of God. If he who spilled his blood then is God, according to Acts 20, yes, he is a man, but he is not a mere man. And so this is a happy part of our catechism answer, isn't it? No mere man since the fall is able in this life perfectly to keep the commandments of God. And here we have another one of those wonderful phrases. So many of them in this question. In this life. For the struggle of the believer, into which we have been enlisted by our union with Christ, no longer being under the guilt of sin or under the power of sin, but riddled with the presence of sin, that struggle into which we have been enlisted, in which the Spirit of Christ leads us against the deeds of our body to be putting them to death, is quite a fierce and oftentimes painful struggle. The good that we would do, we do not do. The evil that we hate, we would. And just as Christ is always present to us, so the Apostle says in Romans 7, he finds this to be a law in his current existence. Sin is always present to him. But it shall not always be always present. That's the wonderful news, isn't it? Sin is always present to you, even a believer. In fact, the more you grow in faith, the more the Spirit quickens to you the Word of God in your heart, the more you see God's holiness, the more you see yourself, the more you will see that sin is always present to you. But the more you will then rejoice that it will not always be always present to you. Its days are numbered. It is only in this life that you are not able perfectly to keep the commandments of God. For this life is short, and soon you will not only be able, but you actually will perfectly keep all the commandments of God. Not just in that one moment that you have longed for your whole life, thinking, if I could just love God with all my heart for a moment, if I could just hate my sin entirely and completely, for a moment, if I could just be free from it for a moment. And every true believer has felt that way. But it won't just be for a moment. It'll be for an eternity. And so what a wonderful little phrase that is. In this life, no mere man, since the fall, is able in this life perfectly to keep the commandments of God. And here is another one of the beautiful little words. Perfectly. For although the believer does not perfectly keep the commandments of God, yet does he genuinely keep the commandments of God. Because he doesn't walk according to the law of sin and death, in which sometimes we deceive ourselves that by our effort to do what the letter says, that is keeping the commandments of God. And so there is not even the root of faith and love in such obedience, and it is no obedience at all. But now, we obey not according to the law of sin and death, but according to the law of spirit and life. And so the letter way of obedience that had killed us has been replaced by the spirit way of obedience that shows that there is life in us, that the faith of a believer, without faith, it is impossible to please God, but with faith, it actually is possible to please God, to love him, to do not just right things, but for a right reason, from a right root. Because there, in the depth of the heart, where the root of genuine Christian obedience is found, is the work of our God, the Holy Spirit, and union with God, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and love for God, our Father. And so we are not yet able perfectly to keep, but we do already now genuinely keep the commandments, and yet we daily break them in thought, word, and deed. Such is obvious to the regenerate man. It's only, ironically, an unregenerate man who can think that he does not sin. But as James says, we all stumble in many things. And as John says, towards the end of his Christian maturity, perhaps the most admirable of the apostles in the descriptions of their character in the New Testament, towards the end of his Christian maturity on earth, he says, if we say that we have no sin, we call God a liar. Paul, having advanced much in grace, we already referred to his constant battle, his furious constant battle with sin in Romans 7. So we do daily break the commandments of God in thought, word, and deed. And yet, this should obviously have been the case as children of the first Adam. And there are all those other delicious phrases to show us what the last Adam now has done. No mere man, since the fall, is able in this life perfectly to keep the commandments of God, but doth daily break them in thought, word, and deed.